If you feel well enough to stand, we'll stand for just a moment and look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hallelujah. Pastor, thank you so much for allowing us to come today. We're just delighted to get to be with you once again. You've been so kind to us, and we always enjoy being with you. Greetings from our pastor, Gary Bankson in Rose Pine. His prayer is that you would be blessed, that something great would happen for you today. Hebrews chapter 13. Glory to God. In verse 8, oh, it's a good scripture. It's kind of famous. You may have seen it before. It just says this. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, that's pretty clear. Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. We're talking about a God who does not change. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm going to preach this morning. Jesus has not changed. Amen. Jesus has not changed. Pray with me one more time. Lift your voice. Give the Lord glory. Lord, I praise your name today. I honor you, Lord, and I adore you. I thank you for your presence in this place, Lord Jesus, and we submit ourselves to you. We offer ourselves to you. Do what you want to do with us today. Let your word come forth. Empty me of myself, Lord. Let your words come through me today. Empty me. Fill me, Lord Jesus. Use me for your glory. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand. Do what you would do with us today, Lord. Have your way. Somebody said in Jesus' name. Oh, clap your hands one more time. Glorify the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Have a seat if you'd like in the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you remember, you probably do, but a few years ago, it seems like a few years ago, is probably more than 10 years ago, 12 13, 15 years ago. Doesn't sound like a long time unless you're 10 years old or 15. Then it's your whole life. But it wasn't very long ago. There was this popular saying, it was really a marketing scheme in one way. Somebody had an idea to use it as a ministry idea, but it turned into bracelets and t-shirts and bumper stickers and hats and stuff. And it had all these things. Do you remember when they had this phrase that said, "What would Jesus do?" You remember this thing? And people would wear it all over themselves. And it was to confront the idea. If you're going through your day and you've got a dilemma, if you've got a decision, a struggle, some kind of inner battle going on, you don't know if you should do this or you should do that. You stop, you say, what would Jesus do? Faced with the same circumstance, faced with the same idea, and you should do what Jesus would do. We're Christians. We want to behave like he would want us to behave. That's not really the approach that I want to take with this idea this morning, though, because I want you to know that in whatever situation that Jesus faces, and in everything that we go through, Jesus would do what Jesus has always done. Jesus does not change. He would say the things he has always said. And when we seek the Lord in this place today, we can expect to find the very same Jesus that we find in the pages of the Gospels. Jesus the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." There's no change. There's no alteration. There's no shadow of turning, the old song says. He's going to be the same. So what would Jesus say to this world we live in today? What would, if Jesus were to walk in here today, or if Jesus had access to your internet or your TV channel and he could get on and say whatever he wanted to say, what would Jesus say to the whole world today? Matthew 4. Verse 17, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Jesus would say, "You've got to change your ways." Jesus would say, "Turn from your sin." He would say, "Serve me, follow me, forsake what you've got in mind, forsake the things that you're doing." Jesus would say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You don't have very long, Jesus would say. What would Jesus say to people in this place today? Oh, I'm not saying that everybody's insincere, but what if somebody was? What if somebody's pretending to live for God? What if somebody looks just right, has their suit on and is standing up straight, they combed their hair and brushed their teeth, and you're looking like Christians, but you're not who you're pretending to be? Jesus would say this in Matthew 23 and verse 27. Oh, Jesus would say it hard. He would say, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whited sepulchres." What is that? Graves, tombs that are painted beautifully on the outside. But he says, "Which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Jesus would see through you and me today. Jesus would see the things within me that I can't hide with a necktie. I can't hide from Jesus. He searches the hearts of men. He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he knows about those secret things I don't want you to know about. He knows the things that you do when nobody's watching. He knows the things you look at when you think nobody will know. He knows the way you think that you don't express with your speech. Jesus knows, and he would see through you and me, and he would say, "Repent. Don't be a hypocrite," Jesus would say. "Be the real thing. Follow me with all of your heart, all of your soul, all your mind, all your strength." That's what Jesus would say unto you and to me today. Do you believe this? Glory to God. What would Jesus say to you? I'm going to be all over the place with this today. You're not going to find a masterpiece of theology in this sermon today. I found some things Jesus would think, Jesus would do and would say, and maybe you'll think it's disjointed, but if you're weary today, if you're tired today, if you're going through difficulty and you're serving God, but you're weary in your well-doing, if you're having some struggles and some trials, Jesus would say to you what he said in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, somebody say rest. Oh, there's nothing like rest. Rest is what I need. Rest is what you need. Rest is why we look forward to Friday and wish Friday would hurry up so we can have Saturday and we can rest. Which you probably don't. But you ought to. Everybody's looking for a time, a day off, but we don't rest with our days off. We do more stuff with our days off. But Jesus wants to give us rest today, wants to refresh us in a way beyond a three-hour nap and beyond a foot massage and beyond sitting by the fire on a cold day. Jesus wants to do something spiritual within us. The spiritual rest Jesus talks about is found in Isaiah. I didn't write down which chapter, but when he says, "With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith ye shall cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,'" the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that stammering lips, that speaking with other tongues, that is the rest. That is the refreshing for your souls. And if you've never had that happen to you, or if you've had it happen dozens of times, that's your rest today. That's what the Lord is calling you to today, to bring you closer to him, to speak through you, to move in your very soul and in your spirit, and to say, "This is how you get refreshed." Glory to God. Do you think Jesus would have mercy on you and me today? I think he would. I think that he would. I think this is the age of grace. I believe judgment is coming. I believe that it's time to repent now. I think waiting for tomorrow is dangerous, but Jesus would have mercy today. And we wonder so often. David was the one who wondered first, I think, in the Bible when he said, "Why is it that the wicked are prospering? Why is it?" It's in that same place where the heathen rage. When he's talking about why do they seem to prosper when they're against God? And then God's people are struggling with this circumstance and that. "Lord, why don't you destroy them? Why don't you bring some kind of defeat against them?" Have you considered? I know God will judge. I know that there's a day coming of judgment for everybody, but today, how many times have you been worthy of judgment? How many times are you the one that somebody somewhere was praying about you and saying, "Lord, why are you letting them get by with that?" But through the mercy, through the grace of God, here you are today. And God didn't destroy you. God didn't strike you down. God didn't judge you because of 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus would want you to come to repentance. Jesus is not judging this world yet because he loves the people in this world. Jesus loves the terrorists. We don't want to believe that. Jesus loves the people who are preaching against him, those who are serving gods who don't exist, those who are persecuting Christians because of the hatred that the wicked one has put in them. Jesus loves those people. It's his will to save the people that we often want to see destroyed. Jesus would tell them, Jesus would tell you the same thing that he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus would say, you've got to be born of water. You've got to be born of the Spirit. He has not changed. The doctrine has not changed. Your salvation method has not changed. You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. You've got to receive the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in a language you've never learned how to speak. It's miraculous. It's what Jesus would tell you. He would tell you like he told in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, the stuff that you need, that's going to be added to you. First. Seeking Jesus first is not easy. It's easy for us to say, oh, what's your first priority? Oh, the kingdom of God. Jesus is my first love. It's my first priority. But the way I live doesn't always look like he's my first thing. Because I've got a family to tend to. I've got a job to tend to. Maybe I've got a ministry to tend to. I've got a yard to mow. I've got clothes to wash. I've got things to do. I've got retirement to plan. And I've got all kinds of educational things I've got to get taken care of. Can I seek Jesus fourth or third? How about tied for second? Jesus said, first, make me your priority, Jesus would say. And then all of the other things you're worried with, I'm going to take care of all that for you. That's his promise. Hallelujah. Do you believe that you could receive a miracle today? Do you believe you could be healed or restored or strengthened or somehow receive a miracle? I know that you do. Jesus would say this to people who need to be healed in their bodies today. It's Matthew 4. Verse 24, look at this. His fame went throughout all Syria, that's where he was, and they brought unto him all, everybody say all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew 12:15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Luke 4:40, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. That's what Jesus did. Luke 6:19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Oh, he doesn't do that anymore. Why don't we believe Jesus would do what he did in the Bible? Why do we believe that Jesus would come into this place and heal a certain few and help a certain few and only take care of those that seem to be emergencies and leave the other ones to be? We don't want to believe Jesus will heal everything and everybody and any kind of situation. We want to believe Jesus for the emergencies. Oh, in case of emergency, break the glass and find Jesus. And if you've got a report of cancer, oh, we'll call on the elders of the church. They'll pray for somebody and there'll be a healing. Oh, if somebody's got a heart disease, needs heart surgery, some kind of life-threatening situation, we're going to believe Jesus can do all things. But if somebody's got a headache, well, hey, you can take something for that. If somebody's got allergies, well, they got Benadryl for that. They've got all of these fancy, cool allergy pills you could take. You don't have to bother Jesus with that. If you've got asthma, well, you can just take a puff on this right here. You're going to be all right. Don't bother Jesus. You can live with diabetes. You may have to give yourself a shot every now and then. You may have to change the way that you eat. You don't have to bother Jesus with the things that you can handle. Where do we find that stuff in the book? Because it's not there. Search for it. Find me the place where Jesus leaves people alone with the diseases they can handle. Oh, you can deal with that struggle yourself. I'm going to go over here and help the emergency situations. Jesus wants to heal everybody. Jesus, it is his will to do the things that he promised he would do. Do you believe that it's the will of God for him to keep his promises? And then we wonder, oh, is it God's will for me to receive today? Is it promised to you? Are you supposed to go through disease and pain and struggle and difficulty and fear and anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts and all that? Is that in there for you? No, you're supposed to be healed. You're supposed to be restored according to the word of God. Jesus would tell you to have faith. Mark chapter 9, verse 24, actually 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. There was some people that Jesus said to them, they wanted to be healed of their blindness. They wanted to receive their sight. And Jesus said, be it unto you how? According to your faith. He didn't say, you can have what I'm able to do. He said, you can have what you're able to believe for. And if you can believe today, if you can have the faith that will make you able to believe for a miraculous 100% restoration in your situation, you can have that today. If you have trouble with that level of faith, your hope is not gone. You can have what you can believe for. Maybe you can believe that Jesus will sustain you over the next few days and heal you gradually, and by next week this time you'll feel fine. Maybe you could have faith to believe that. Either way, you get restored. Maybe you could believe that the Lord will touch you today and put a strength in you that over the next month and a half, you're going to say, look at me, I feel better. Things are good now. The Lord must have touched me. Maybe that's the kind of faith you've got. It would be better if you could just believe that he can do it all right now today. But you can have what you can believe Jesus for today. Glory to God. He commissioned his disciples to heal as they went out. I'm preaching about healing right now. To preach the gospel, and he commissioned the believers to do the same. To heal people as they went out to preach. This is that same passage where it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In verse Mark 16, 18, they shall take up serpents. Don't do it on purpose. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. A believer should have a miraculous ministry. Do you believe today? Are you a follower of Jesus? Is there somebody who would say, I'm a person with faith? That's supposed to be you right there. You're supposed to be the one casting out devils and speaking with new tongues and laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's not for you to wait for the preachers to go and do. If you're a believer, you're supposed to have the power of God working in you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Have you received the Holy Ghost? If you have received the Spirit of God, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Operate with what you've been promised. Glory to God. Holy, holy, holy. What would Jesus say? He hasn't changed. What would Jesus say to those today who are facing fear and dread and emotional dilemmas than things that overwhelm. Some people have a tomorrow that you don't want to even think about right now, because today is your sanctuary. Today is your place to hide in the presence of the Lord. You don't want to come out and see what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow shakes you up. But Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You don't have to be afraid in the presence of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Oh, I love to preach about that. If God didn't give it to me, I don't have to have it. If it's not from God, I'm going to send it back. I'm not going to receive a gift that God didn't give me. I don't want the spirit of fear. What does God give? I'll have that instead. Power, love, and a sound mind. That's what I'm going to receive today. I don't have to. Maybe you're at that place where you think, oh, I'm so fragile, about to lose my mind. No, the Lord has promised you a sound mind. Glory to God. Somebody's receiving today. Oh, there's help for you today. Here in the presence of God, you're going to find what you need. You're going to find mercy. The grace of God is going to extend to you today for the forgiveness of sins, for the healing of our bodies, for the soothing of our troubled minds. That same place in Matthew 6:33, the next verse, 44, talks about, don't be afraid. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. When he said, seek me first. He said, don't worry about what's going to go on tomorrow. Today is enough for you to handle. Tomorrow I'll be there. We'll take care of tomorrow when we get to it. Jesus has not changed. Oh, if we could believe that today. Jesus is the same today. If he were standing in this building physically today, he would do the things that we read about. Do you think he would come into this place and not heal? Do you think he would come into this place and not set people free? Do you think that he would do something contrary to what he has always been? He would heal multitudes. He would provide for us in miraculous ways. You can find in Matthew chapter 14 when he fed over 5,000 people with one person's lunch. They said, what you got? Well, somebody had just a few pieces of fish and a few pieces of bread. And Jesus prayed over it. And Jesus said, here, let's go distribute this to the people. And it fed over 5,000 people. Everybody had fish and bread. And they gathered up leftovers from it. Jesus can do things that don't make sense, impossible things. He would do a miracle for you. He would forgive you. And then he would command you to forsake your sin. This is not for everybody today. Somebody needs to know, though, when Jesus forgives you, you have to change. John chapter 8, verse 10, there's this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. They brought her to Jesus, and the law said she should be executed. She should be stoned. And Jesus said to the people, okay, well, whoever among you hasn't sinned, you can cast the first stone. Go right ahead. You've read that before. The people all left in shame, and they just said, well, I guess I can't do that. So in verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's crucial, because there's so many people today who want to look at you and look at me and say, don't you judge me. Don't you look at me with that judgmental eye and tell me what I should and shouldn't do. Only God can judge me. Well, yeah, and he will someday. But listen, if the Lord will forgive you, the Lord will demand of you a change. And we don't have to, there's no value in saying, oh, only God can judge me. Knowing that one day he will, I've got to do according to his commands today. That's all I'm going to say about that. But the very same Jesus, I believe I'm almost done. Could you stand with me this morning? The same Jesus, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Call on his name. The very same Jesus. There's only one Jesus. The Spirit of Christ that fills you today is the same Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. There's only one God. When you're filled with His Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit that created you. You're filled with the Spirit of Jesus who did these mighty acts and who spoke these words. Would He come into this place and do any different than what He has always done? No! He has shown Himself to be the healer. He has shown Himself to be merciful. He's shown Himself to be the God who will not accept sin. He's demanding of you and me today that we would believe He is who He has always been. Call on His name just a moment now with me. Hallelujah. With the understanding that you're calling on the Jesus of the Bible, not some Jesus that comes and goes and maybe will do something for me, may not. You're calling on the God of all mercy. You're calling on the God of all comfort today. The healer, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who can set you free. Oh, sweet Jesus, I bless your name. Glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to open the altar here in just a moment, and somebody who understands, somebody who knows that only Jesus can fix it for you is going to come right to the altar this morning. Hallelujah. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to separate and say, everybody who needs to be forgiven of your sins, come over here. Everybody who needs to be healed, go over there. I'm not going to split you up and make a spectacle of anybody. But let us not be intimidated by each other today. You're with friends. You're in a safe place today. Everybody in this place wants you to be healed today. Everybody in this place wants you to be set free from the struggles and the sins that have so easily beset you. Everybody here wants you to go home with a sound mind, with the peace and the joy and the strength that the Word of God promises. You're safe with us today. The altar is open if you're somebody who needs Jesus today. If you're somebody who needs the Lord to undertake in your situation, the altar is open. And I'm going to linger on this moment. Everybody's scared to be the first one. I'll be the first one. Somebody come and pray with me today. The Lord is going to touch somebody. The Lord is going to set you free from who knows what. You know what, don't you, today? The Lord wants to heal you. If you're the one who has said, I will just endure. I will patiently go through my trial. I don't need to be healed. I can have the patience that the Lord will give me. No, don't live like that today. Today, let this be the day that as Jesus passes by, you call His name and say, Jesus, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. That's how you get a hold of Jesus. You don't worry about the people beside you, the people behind you. When they can save your soul, you can worry about what they think. When they can heal you, you can worry about what they think. Today, only Jesus can set you free. Today, in His presence, it's His will for you to receive. Oh, somebody else needs to come this morning. The altar's filling up and there's people already receiving. Oh, the Spirit of God is falling on the children of God today. Oh, He's moving in this place and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to embarrass nobody, but if you got a need, this is your moment. This is your moment. Let's not wait and see if tomorrow is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. Let's seek His face.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship and we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship and we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship and we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship and we bless your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you Lord, we lift our hands in worship, and we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship, and we bless your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory. We lift our hands in worship, and we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship, and we bless your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great.
Oh, hallelujah. There's a hunger in the house of God this morning. There's a cry going up from so many of us that there's just a desire. I don't know if you can feel it the way I'm feeling it this morning, but there's people who are hungry. There's people who are thirsty for the presence of the Lord, and people who are afraid that even right now the fear has begun to get into your mind. The idea that this is your moment and you're going to miss it. But it's not true. That's not the word of God this morning. The word of God is that this is your moment and you're not going to miss it. If you've got a need in your life, I'm talking about you need to be healed. You've got brokenness inside that you need to be comforted. You need to be provided for in a way that you can't take care of yourself. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise that other hand with it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, now with both of those hands raised to Jesus, I want you to speak that name above all names. Call on his name. Say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. And the Lord's going to fall upon you in a mighty way. Maybe somebody will lay hands on you. Maybe somebody will pray for you. Maybe they won't, but it's going to be all right this morning. The Lord hears your cry. Make sure the Lord hears your cry. Call on to Jesus even right now. Say, Lord, don't pass me by. Lord, I need you more than anything. Lord, would you heal? Lord, would you strengthen? Lord, would you bless me? Lord, I need you today. Lord, don't let my moment pass me by. Glorious, sweet Jesus. Oh, go ahead and let that voice out. Oh, let your voice out. Let a cry of praise come from your lips this morning. Oh, the Lord will occupy that. The Lord will inhabit that. The Lord will come close. Sweet Jesus. Sweet, glorious, mighty God. Let's keep seeking his face. He's pouring out today.